I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. If you're looking for a safe space for you independent thinkers out there, you have found it. This is something rather different. I'll tell you, what a difference a weekend makes with the news. Today's show, we're going to discuss two big stories. One is the COVID third wave. I'm sure you've heard about this. If you haven't, I'm going to play the hysteria, the fear-mongering that's going on right now around a COVID third wave. And then there's the biggest story probably of this weekend as more and more trickles in. And I am asking the question, has Hunter Biden single-handedly saved the country? I mean, if you think about it, this guy may be the reason we do not end up with a Kamala Harris administration for the next 4 years. So kudos to Hunter Biden. We're going to take a look at everything going around him and the incredible story around social media. I am calling for a Schmexit. You know, they had Brexit when Britain wanted to leave the EU. It's so sad. You know, that hasn't even happened yet. I think it's been at least 4 years, maybe 5 years now since they voted to leave the EU, and they still have not gotten out. This is what happens when the people speak. The politicians, when they don't get the desire, the outcome that they wanted, they'll just drag their feet. They won't let it happen anyway. But there was Brexit to start off. That here in the United States, there was Blexit, which was a movement of some black people out of the Democratic Party. I am proposing Smexit. You know, Brexit, Schmexit. Schmexit would be social media exit. And I'm really, at this point, particularly in light of the Hunter Biden story, or lack of story when you get to social media, because they censored the entire thing and will continue to do so, I'm not sure exactly what it takes to get people off of social media and away from these platforms to stop participating in them. Every tweet, every like that you do on Twitter, everything that you give a thumbs up to on Facebook, every single post, is a few more pennies in these big tech monopoly pockets. You are the product. Every time you give them a little clue about who you are, about what you share and what you like and what you comment on and what you post, you are giving them a little bit more information on you, which they sell to advertisers, which has made them hundreds of billions of dollars. So social media exit would be Schmexit, as near as I can tell. It's the most rhymey thing. It's kind of hard to get something out of social media, but Schmexit seems to be the best. I don't know if people need Facebook and Twitter to actually knock on their door in the morning and punch them in the face every single day for people to turn their back on these platforms. It's like going to a restaurant that gives you food poisoning every single time you go. So you go there and you eat, and the next day you lay in bed, curled up, grabbing your stomach, cussing that restaurant, and the next day you go back again to get more bad food. At some point, quit whining about it. Stop going to the restaurant. These social media companies have got to be taken down. They're apparently been called in front of Congress for, what, the sixth or seventh time now? Maybe this time something will actually happen, and why Donald Trump has not left Twitter and taken his followers somewhere else. Donald Trump could have put a giant dent in social media long ago. But anyway, I'm calling for a Smexit. I've got my quotes of the day today. Several from Aldous Huxley. I'll do this one on technology first when we're talking about social media. Aldous Huxley, Brave New World fame. He said, technological progress has merely provided us with a more efficient means for going backwards. Aldous Huxley also said, facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored. Right back to social media again. And Aldous Huxley, most ignorance is vincible ignorance. We don't know because we don't want to know. And boy, do I deal with that on a daily basis in talking politics to people. Most people prefer to stick their fingers in their ears and la 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 rather than actually hear exactly what's going on. And the left is certainly involved in that right now with the Hunter Biden story. And then there's this story that I read. This is a opening paragraph of an article written by Roger Koops, K-O-O-P-S. He said, 2020 is a year of disguises. Some examples include computer models or modelers disguised as science or scientist. Tyrants, dictators, totalitarians disguised as elected officials. Propaganda machines disguised as news sources. Brainwashing disguised as information. Censorship disguised as public health safeguard. Panic and fear disguised as social responsibility. And boy, does that wrap up exactly what we've seen over the last 10 months. And I hate to tell you, my friends, it is not over. I'm going to take a quick break here, come back and play the news story that was playing this morning. I did the fair this weekend, kind of hemmed and hawed whether or not I was even going to do it. I meant to give out my address last week to let people know. Come by and park. I do a parking lot every year at the fair, and I went out and did it. I would say the crowd was about 50% of what it's been in the past. They successfully scared everybody away from the fair. Congratulations to those of you who went out and this weekend and lived your lives, tried to do something fun, regardless of whether or not you're a fan of the fair. It can be a bit of a money suck. There's no doubt about that. Of course, you start with me. If you park in my lot, I'm going to take a few bucks off of you before you even get into the gates. But the bottom line is, it was nice to see some people going out, not on their phones, not cowered in their house in fear. I didn't see a whole lot of mask wearing on the walk-in, walk-out. I think you had to wear them to come in to the fair, and then maybe you could take them off. The hypocrisy of the fact that Thomas Dobbs and these health authorities can tell you that you can't have more than two families together for Thanksgiving. You need to go ahead and hunker to just go ahead and prepare to forego Thanksgiving, but the fair's fine, is absolutely ridiculous. But once again, COVID is stricken. A lot of people lost a lot of money or did not see a lot of the revenue they would. So the trickle effects of this continue to happen. But when I come back, I'll play you this report of what we're looking at. And I guess I may start today with COVID and then get into the Hunter Biden stuff. The Hunter Biden stuff is coming fast and furious in the headlines. And I do not think we've seen the last of this. I think they're going to continue to trickle stuff through. Of course, the Democrats have figured out what the plot is. It's the Russians, of course, providing all this Hunter Biden stuff. I do want to correct one thing, though. There has been some misreporting about poor Hunter Biden, I believe. Now, I'm no expert in this field, but I have heard on a couple of different discussion shows, a lot of people are maligning poor Hunter Biden and saying that there are pictures of him with a crack pipe in his mouth in these pictures that have been released. And I'm not going to sit here and allow people to just misidentify something like that to pile on poor Hunter Biden. From what I heard this weekend, that's a crystal meth pipe. So let's get that straight. I'll be darned if I'm going to sit here and let anybody call Hunter Biden a crackhead when it may not be true. Turns out he's just a meth addict. That's the state of American politics. Anyway, we'll come back. We're going to look at COVID stuff, and we'll get into Hunter Biden today, too, for sure. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
I don't know about you, but I am getting a very kind of an ominous, anxious feeling like we are at some real weird junction in American history. Between the election, the brazenness of what we have just seen out of social media by trying to cover up, trying to suppress a major news outlet, the New York Post's article about Hunter Biden, and really the fact that social media is just completely out of the shadows. I mean, they're not even operating behind the scenes now. They are willing to just straight out go out and censor people. It just feels like this is building to something, and it really feels like it's going to go one of two ways. It is either going to fall apart and things are going to get better. Well, people will finally, again, I'm calling for Smexit, which is the social media exit. People need to get off of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these platforms for so many reasons, not the least of which is the fact that they are punching you in the face daily and you're going back for more. But it's also not healthy for people. It's not good for your mental health. You're not getting any real news on there. They are engines of hatred between citizens. You know, some are Republicans and some are Democrats. Some are Trump lovers. Some are Trump haters. The fact of the matter is, as I cover on the show every day, you're all getting screwed by the same people. You just can't see it. But with that going on, with an election coming in just a couple of weeks, with the schools the way they are, with the protest in the streets, the riots, I mean, it just feels like we're getting to some kind of a breaking point. And I don't know. I try so hard to kind of rein myself back from any kind, you know, just thinking when you're in the middle of something, it always seems much more important than it does in hindsight. But it seems to be getting to a point where social media and tech censorship and mainstream media, it's not even a bias anymore. When you can watch Joe Biden do a town hall and the person that, air quotes here in the studio, moderates it, is a former Clinton staffer doing a town hall with the Democratic nominee that obviously has a ton of baggage and mental problems, and it looks like two guys just sitting around having a cognac around the fireplace, and then you see Donald Trump go on with Savannah Guthrie, and it's just a rapid-fire assault on Donald Trump. I mean, it's almost like they don't care if we see it now. Well, a lot of people in the Republican Party on the right have seen for years this kind of stealth liberal bias towards things, but it's gotten to a point where it cannot continue like this for very long. Mainstream media is thoroughly discredited after 3 years of Russiagate stuff. I don't know. It just feels like the wheels are starting to come off this thing. Now, that can be a good thing. One of the reasons I voted for Donald Trump was to shake up the system, to go ahead and kind of break it apart. And anytime that happens, there's some level of chaos. You know, anytime you destroy something to rebuild something better. My problem is I've not really got a whole lot of hope that Donald Trump was going to build something back better. To use the UN Joe Biden campaign phrase. But it feels like something really serious. And then you throw on top of that what we're seeing around coronavirus. This is where it starts to get really, really creepy. The censorship of alternate medical opinions on coronavirus and lockdowns and masks is especially concerning because we live in a world where anytime you go see a doctor, if you get some bad news, one of the first things you will advise a loved one or a loved one will advise to you is, I would get a second opinion just to be sure, just to be sure. Get all of the experts together on this thing and then figure it out. But the mainstream media, the big tech companies have decided there is no room for a second opinion, and they are actually suppressing well-credentialed medical people and researchers, refusing to allow their material to go out because it stops the narrative. And we see these things. It's just I'm not sure what we're going to end up doing about it. I watched the news this morning, and this is what they're telling you. And I say this again, to all the people out there, especially who believe that coronavirus was a plot to bring down Donald Trump and that it is all going to go away on November 4th, the day after the election. I have been arguing with people. No, I'm not arguing. I just say I disagree. I think there's a much bigger plan around coronavirus. There are goals that need to be achieved by the people who are profiting off coronavirus that have nothing to do. The fact that this is Trump's election year, it's just a convenient thing to try to hurt Donald Trump with, hurt his economy. But it was never all about Donald Trump. This is going to continue to go past the election, which is in 2 weeks. And think about that time frame when you listen to this story.
This morning, public health experts say the U.S. may be battling a third wave of the coronavirus. COVID cases are now rising in more rural areas as colder temperatures keep people indoors, where the virus spreads more easily.
You cannot say that we're on the road to essentially getting out of this.
The next 6 to 12 weeks are going to be the darkest of the entire pandemic.
Listen to that. The next 6 to 12 weeks, that is 3 months. That is into January of 2021, the darkest of the entire pandemic. This means worse than March, worse than April when we saw these spikes in death, when New York City was ordering, Andrew Cuomo ordering old people back into nursing homes to infect everybody, and they had a bunch of deaths in New York City. He is saying that in the next 3 months, and again, the election's in 2 weeks, 3 months is a little bit longer than 2 weeks. My public school math tells me that. That they are setting us up for this fall, and we've got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. The next 6 to 12 weeks are going to be the darkest of the pandemic. They are bringing this thing back. And I've got a lot of things to point to make some of the points around this, but I'm just going to play a little bit more of this report because this is some surreal stuff. It's like the more people kind of wake up and want to get their lives back, the more fatigue, the more economic harm this thing does, the worse it gets, the worse they come after us.
According to the NBC News count, cases in 38 states and D.C. have increased at least 10% in the last 2 weeks.
Now, I always want to bring some context to some of these things. If you have 10 people in a hospital for COVID, and you have one more, the next day you have 11 people in the hospital due to COVID, that's a 10% increase. Now, of course, what they're showing here, because I'm watching this, is from NBC Today Show this morning. As I'm watching this, because I see it on video here, it's got the map. We're all familiar with the map, right? With all the different states and the ones that they color in red. Well, Mississippi is a red state. These are these spikes we're talking about. And I find myself so mystified with these spikes we're seeing, because can somebody please explain to me how we're seeing all of these spikes in 44 states if everybody has been wearing a mask for 5 months now? 5 months people have been wearing masks, even if there's not a mask mandate. I know when I go to the grocery store, I'm generally the only, if maybe one of two or three in the entire grocery store that is not wearing a mask. So everybody is wearing a mask and have been for months now. So how do you say the masks are effective, yet we still are seeing these spikes? Of course, this question will never be asked. The masks are pointless. They don't work, number one. Number two, people don't wear them correctly. Number three, people fidget with them and touch their hands. They don't replace them like they should. You know, some of these light masks you see people in the store, you can tell they've been worn a few times, like mine. They're crumpled. They may be a little dirty on the outside. They're supposed to be thrown away after every single use of like 4 hours. If it gets the slightest bit wet, it's supposed to be gone, and people aren't doing these things. But it is interesting to me. I just haven't heard the question asked. We've been masking up now for 4 or 5 months. How is it possible to have these spikes if the masks work? Now, they will blame this on the maskless. So maybe it's me. Let me just come on air and apologize to Mississippi. Maybe I'm the guy because I don't wear a mask. I'll finish up just a little bit more of this story.
30 states have risen 25% or more, including New York, prompting authorities to nix a 10,000-person wedding set for today.
There is no safe way to do that.
Here in Wisconsin, an emergency field hospital has opened at the state fairgrounds as the number of hospitalized COVID patients tripled in the last month, threatening to overwhelm the state's medical facilities.
We are in crisis here in Wisconsin.
Again, these numbers are never in context. Tripling, now that sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? But if you've got a state, in Mississippi, we've got, 3 million people. If you've got a state, and we're one of the smaller states, if you've got a state of 3 million people and you had 30 people, and now you've got 90 people hospitalized for this, and again, they say with COVID, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily in the hospital because directly of COVID. I tried to do this research too, but I was a little late to doing it because I was down at the fairgrounds all weekend. I'd like to see a chart. If anybody can find this, I'll do my own research, but if anybody wants to take a look at this, I think this would be interesting. I'd like to know in an average year what the chart of hospitalizations by month on average looks like in the United States. I would just imagine as you get into the fall, into what is flu season every single year, there's always a talk about around the holiday time, there's more stress, there's more heart attacks. What is it like Thanksgiving Day is after everybody has a big meal is like the biggest day of the year for heart attacks, strokes, things like that. I would like to see a chart of what hospitalizations on average look like in the United States for the last 50 years with the percentage of, the graph of how things go up and down by seasons when you typically have more hospitalizations. You've also got, and I'm going to play a clip in just a few minutes from what it's just a fantastic speech about the other things we're ignoring while we singularly focus on COVID. But I would love to see those. Let me see if there's anything else in this piece that I wanted to play.
In North Dakota, where early voting begins today, 4% of the population has already contracted the virus, most within the last few weeks. There are only 20 ICU beds left in the entire state.
I've never seen anything like this.
And over the weekend, New Mexico's governor sounded the alarm, tweeting her state is seeing a 101% spike in COVID hospitalizations.
Again, I want to see all of these numbers. I don't know where I get them or if I've got the time to do this. What difference does it make with some little rebel outpost show and Central Mississippi that goes and does this? The narrative is going to stay the same. But even at 100% spike in something, again, if you had 10 people and now you've got 20 people, I can imagine there were tons of flu seasons where at the beginning of a flu season, you had 10 people show up at the hospital. And as the flu season moved along, suddenly in the state, you had 20 people hospitalized. And I'm simplifying the numbers for the math purposes, but it doesn't matter if it was 30 and then there were 60. Obviously, when you've got anything out there, a bug going around as it makes its way through, it's just there's no context. They like to use the shocking thing. 100% increase. Most people in the United States don't even understand that's a doubling. I bet you how many of the people in the United States listening to somebody say 100% increase think it was 100 times. That's 100 times what it was the day before. I'm serious about that. I mean, I'm always stunned by the lack of ability to think and understand math and understand statistics. Anyway, here's one of the biggest problems I saw. I ran across this story, too. Here's one of the biggest problems here, and then I'm going to get to this speech. I'll take a break and come back with a speech from Tom Woods. It's just fantastic. Health authorities don't understand their place. How do you like that? That's very condescending, isn't it? They don't understand their place in our society. Health authorities think that they're the boss. They're not. They are there. Health authorities, people at the CDC, these people like that, they are there to collect data and provide information. The people and their elected representatives are the ones that are supposed to set policies, right? It's kind of been flipped on its head. Now we've got a bunch of medical authorities and bureaucrats setting the policies. Listen to this. More than 1,000 current and former officers of an elite disease-fighting program at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have signed an open letter expressing dismay at the nation's public health response to COVID-19 pandemic and calling for the federal agency to play a more central role. Quote, the absence of national leadership on COVID-19 is unprecedented and dangerous. said the letter, signed by current and former officers of the CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service of outbreak investigators. Quote, CDC should be at the forefront of a successful response to the global public health emergency. Now, everybody else reads that and thinks, well, I mean, that kind of makes sense. It's the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. Of course, they should be at the forefront of this. The problem is no. They can be at the forefront of providing information and providing recommendations for what they would do. But then that has to be parsed through a civilian leadership of elected officials. Unfortunately, we elect the worst of the worst of our society, but theoretically. And those elected officials are supposed to look at what the CDC or what the health authorities provide them and then weigh that against the costs in other areas. And again, I'm going to get to that in a second when you listen to Tom Woods, some of the statistics of the costs of all these lockdowns and mandates from these health authorities. Signers to this thing included two former CDC directors, Jeffrey Copeland, who led the agency under Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, and Tom Frieden, who served under President Barack Obama. All of the signatures were writing to, quote, express our concern about the ominous politicization and silencing of the nation's health protection agency. Does anybody get a sense that the CDC or any health authorities that have demanded these, do you get a sense that they've been silenced? I don't. I'm sick of hearing from them. They won't shut up, as far as I'm concerned. They said their letter, which was published Friday in the Epidemiology Monitor, a newsletter for epidemiologists. Anyway, the health authorities, they don't understand that they are not the boss. They are supposed to provide information to elected leaders who make decisions, but the elected leaders are supposed to make decisions not only based on what medical professionals say, but as what the business community might say, what average citizens might say about having their freedoms curtailed. Like, they're supposed to take all of that information in and then make some levels of decision and then be held accountable by the voters as to whether or not they made the right decision. Now, I don't know if anybody else ever went to the polls and voted for Thomas Dobbs to be our state health person, but I don't remember ever voting for him. So he can be as wrong as he wants to be. He can enact policies that will destroy the lives of thousands, tens of thousands of Mississippians and their businesses. And he doesn't have to be held accountable because he's not elected. He's just a bureaucrat. Again, he may be the nicest guy in the world to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. But the problem is that he is singularly focused on one single virus to the complete ignorance, ignoring of everything else in society. He is singularly focused on one single, air quotes here in the studio, threat. And unfortunately, our civilian leadership has been enthralled by these people, bought into this hysteria, and they refuse the Tate Reeves, the Andrew Cuomo's. Ron DeSantis may be the only one that I've really seen that really seems to kind of had an epiphany, did a little bit too much, and then went, holy cap, what have we done? We need to backtrack on this. And has come back and done the right thing. Doesn't mean he doesn't change right back to being a totalitarian tomorrow. But the problem is health authorities, medical community, they don't understand their place. Their place is not to make dictates to us. They don't need to worry about being disappointed if they don't feel like their notes were taken with the urgency with which they put them out. They are there to provide what is supposedly some kind of an expert opinion, but then that has to get weighed against so many other things. And those other things are what they don't look at, what they're not experts in. People at the CDC are probably not experts in small business debt financing. They're probably not experts in suicide from losing a job. They're probably not experts in addiction. They're probably not experts in divorce law. We're seeing divorces spike in this country. They refuse to look at all of these other downsides to what they've suggested on this, and they're so disappointed that we just didn't listen to every single thing they said. And it's because they don't understand their place. Now, I put them in their place every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock in this show. Told you about the medical mafia. Warned you for 3 years. Look at them. They're disappointed we're not listening to them more. When I come back, I got to play this. Tom Woods did a fantastic speech about COVID and other considerations, the things that the health experts won't take into consideration as they're trying to upend our entire way of life based on one single virus. So when I come back, I'll play that clip. Stay with me.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Look, we are headed into some weird times. Well, we're smack dab in the middle of some weird times. I'll put it there. But it feels like it's coming to some level of a crescendo. I was talking about this NBC story this morning. This was all based around this quote. This guy is Dr. Michael Osterholm, director of the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. He says, his quote is, the next 6 to 12 weeks, that is 1.5 to 3 months, will be the darkest period of the pandemic. And they're setting us up for this third wave again. I'm telling you, this is not over with the election. This thing is bigger than the election. And boy, we need to start wrapping our minds around how we're going to respond to this if they come in and try to shut us down again. We need to. It would be really nice if we got out ahead of something rather than constantly reacting to things. Here's what the health authorities do not consider. This is a fantastic. You can look. This is on YouTube. At least it is today. Who knows about later today or tomorrow? The Fact-Free COVID Dystopia by Thomas E. Woods. Tom Woods is a big libertarian guy. Very, very interesting guy. Very thoughtful guy. I want you to listen to this. Kind of a long clip. I think I've got time to get into some of it. I want you to listen to some of the statistics around the world. Now, we're all focused on this one virus particle, right? Our entire lives, according to these health experts, must revolve around this one particle, this one single virus. We're not talking about cancer. We're not talking about diabetes. We're not talking about heart disease. We're not talking about starvation. We're not talking about suicide. We're not talking about car accidents. Everything must revolve around this one virus. Now, to a lot of you, you think, well, yeah, because it's really dangerous and it's out there. Listen to these statistics that Tom Woods is going to tell you about.
Because, yes, if you simply focus monomaniacally on one virus, you might be able to say, look at what we did for this one virus. You might be able to say that. I'm not even sure they can say that. But they might be able to say, look what we've done for people with this one virus. And then, being midwits, they leave the discussion right there. They don't bother to investigate the 17 other aspects of health that have catastrophically collapsed because of that one thing they did. All they say is, look at what we did in the short run for this targeted group. Instead of saying, look at the long-run consequences for everybody. And because they don't look at that, it's not even mentioned. When was the last time Dr. Fauci, who is viewed superstitiously by everybody, even acknowledged that there are collateral damages from lockdowns? Even mentioned them? Nothing. And so they're therefore able to turn around and say, you just want people to die. Okay, well, let's play that game. They want to play it? Let's play it. How about this? We know, for example, coming out of the UK, that there will be more likely to be at least as many, if not more, preventable cancer deaths than COVID deaths because of the diversion of resources into COVID and the panicking of everybody about it. And so we read Richard Sullivan, professor of cancer and global health at King's College London, director of its Institute for Cancer Policy, saying, the number of deaths due to due to the disruption of cancer services is likely to outweigh the number of deaths from the coronavirus itself. The cessation and delay of cancer care will cause considerable avoidable suffering. Cancer screening services have stopped, which means we will miss our chance to catch many cancers when they are treatable and curable, such as cervical, bowel, and breast. When we do restart normal service delivery after the lockdown is lifted, the backlog of cases will be a huge challenge to the healthcare system. We read October 6th in the Daily Mail coming out of the UK that Health Secretary Matt Hancock says cancer patients may only be guaranteed treatment if COVID-19 stays under control. How about that? Almost
understand what they're saying there. Understand this. What they're saying is if you've got cancer, which is pretty bad, we are going to put you on the back burner for that disease that will just simply continue to progress and progress and progress if you don't do anything until the point that you die. We're going to put that on the back burner because we're going to divert all of our resources to this disease that is 99.85% survivable. It's the same lunacy as these people who say, we don't do mouth-to-mouth. If somebody is at risk of dying from lack of oxygen, they've ceased breathing, we don't do mouth-to-mouth. The person will die right on the spot, right there, but we don't want to help them there because there's a small possibility, a less than 1% possibility, that we might contract a disease from this person who's not breathing, and at some point down the road, somebody may die. So we're not going to save that life right now. This is the world. This is the world we're living in right now.
And this is the Daily Mail, which is much more honest than the American press. Almost 2.5 million people missed out on cancer screening, referrals, or treatment at the height of lockdown.
Yeah, and this is the thing to point out, too. See, I read a lot of international news. It's probably why I have a different perspective on things than the vast majority of Americans who are all wrapped up in this American propaganda bubble we're sitting in. The mainstream media in the United States will not even mention these things, these other costs, these other consequences of what we're doing.
Even though the NHS was never overwhelmed, they have the honesty in the UK to say that. Experts now fear the number of people dying as a result of delays triggered by the treatment of coronavirus patients could even end up being responsible for as many deaths as the pandemic itself. Now, we won't see that kind of effect right away. It's not like a huge number of cancer patients are going to die immediately in 2020, but it does mean that people who might have lived an extra 15 to 20 years may live just another 3 or 4, and we'll see those numbers in the coming years. Then we heard a United Nations report in April saying that economic hardship generated by the radical interruptions of commerce could result in hundreds of thousands of additional child deaths in 2020. UNICEF later increased that number to 1.2 million child deaths. And at Oxford University, Professor Sunitra Gupta has reminded us several times in recent weeks and months of the UN's prediction that as many as 130 million people could be at risk of starvation because of the lockdowns, because of the possibility of famine in several dozen places around the world. Now, who are the ones who don't care about human life? But that's not all, because in the United States, in Oakland, California, we have Benjamin Miller of the Well-Being Trust, who tells us, as co-author of a study on deaths of despair, so that's drug or alcohol abuse or suicide, that an excess, that is to say above what would normally occur, of 75,000 deaths will occur as a result of all this. Not to mention, the CDC itself estimates that in the United States alone, there will be more than 93,000 excess non-COVID deaths this year because of what's been going on, including over 42,000 from cardiovascular conditions, over 10,000 from diabetes, and 3,600 from cancer. A recent UK study just out found that the risk of death was increased because of lockdowns by 53% among seniors with dementia and another 123% among seniors with severe mental illness. For 4 decades, Indian Nobel Peace Laureate Kailash Satyarthi rescued thousands of children from slavery and human trafficking. And he fears that that's going to be reversed. He says the biggest threat is that millions of children may fall back into slavery, trafficking, child labor, child marriage. Well, with millions of families being pushed into poverty, they're being pressured to do something, to put their children to work, to make ends meet. So this is being done. They're trying these lockdowns, even in the developing world where people live hand to mouth. When you live hand to mouth, it means that every day you earn enough money to feed yourself for that day.
All right, I got to take a break. I really encourage people. This is a fantastic presentation. Again, it's Tom Woods, The Fact-Free COVID Dystopia, where he just lays out the fact of all of the consequences of this. And all of these health authorities, like these people at the CDC who signed this letter, they don't take any of those 130 million people at risk of starvation around the world. What, to save a few hundred thousand around the world from COVID? This is the insanity of the world we're living in right now. Stay with me.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, I've only got about a minute left in this hour. I want to let Tom Woods say one more thing. I want you to listen to the proud people of Malawi and how they handled their elected representatives when they proposed lockdowns.
And they're being told to stay home for weeks and months. I think we see where this is going. Now, the people of Malawi, one of the poorest countries in the world, when they got wind of their government's lockdown plans, they rose up and said, "We're not abiding by this. There will be no lockdown." And so there wasn't. We could learn from them.
Amen. I'm telling you, people, this is not over with the election. Better start wrapping your minds around it. Better put your elected leaders on notice. You will not shut down my business. I will continue to cut hair. I will continue to serve food inside my restaurant. I will continue to open my bar. Because this is not over. We're already here and now that back to normal is going to be sometime maybe in the spring of 2022 is how far they've extended this thing out. Americans need to start being proactive. And don't get me started about the vaccine. I've got some stuff about that I may do next hour. I also want to get into the Hunter Biden stuff. So stay with me. I'll be back in just a second. Thanks. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to join the show? I've been listening all weekend. Mine's been kind of wrapped into a pretzel between COVID and then the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden stuff. I'm asking the question, is Hunter Biden single-handedly going to save the United States from a Biden administration? And I also wondered, I found myself last night thinking, I was trying to count down the number of days to the election thinking, is there still a shot? We are on the eve of this election. What are we, 2 weeks away? Is there any possibility that Joe Biden could have a, air quotes here in the studio, medical event or something along those lines, and they replace him at, you know, not the 11th hour, but the 11th hour and 59 minutes? Could they try to move Joe off of the ballot and stick somebody else in. The process for that apparently is that if something were to happen to somebody who is running, like Joe Biden, the DNC just picks somebody else. Now, I don't know if that means that every vote for Joe Biden is considered a vote for this new candidate. I just don't know. I mean, oh, you got to think Joe is just squirming. He was so close to the finish line in this thing. And then all of a sudden this Hunter Biden stuff pops up and the social media companies. Again, I urge you, smix it. Social media exit. Get off these platforms. Quit being a dupe. Quit being the product of Twitter and Instagram and Google and YouTube and Facebook. Get off these platforms. They are doing you. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't know a single service they're doing you because I don't use any of them and I don't think I miss any news. Do you think I really miss any news? I mean, if you're all over Facebook and Twitter getting your news all the time and you feel like, well, I mean, I don't like the companies, but I can't get off these. I mean, are you doing 10 hours worth of news-based talk show a week? I am, and I don't use any of these social media things. Now, maybe that's where your tribe meets, but if you're in a Trump tribe, why the hell are y'all meeting on Facebook and Twitter in the first place? Why is Donald Trump still on Twitter? That is absolutely driving me crazy. Because it's so easy. You know, the thing about Trump leaving Twitter and going to Parler is the name that actually a caller to this show was the first person to tell me about Parler. But apparently they are a Twitter alternative. And the beautiful thing about if Trump were to lead the charge off of Twitter, so you get Trump, you'd get all of the conservative media personalities, you would even have the mainstream media in order to follow Donald Trump's tweets. So they can breathlessly report on each bad tweet he sends out. They would have to follow him over to Parler. And that would be the quickest slap across the face of Jack Dorsey and Twitter for all of the ridiculous censorship and bias that they exhibit on that site. And for some reason, what happened? And this is one of those things that's, you could do it in an afternoon. If Donald Trump decided right now, I tell you what, I'm not going to participate. Donald Trump is probably the single largest profit center for Twitter. Now, I don't know as a percentage of their overall profits what he is. I'm not on the Twitter sphere, so I don't know. I guess the Kardashians have a bunch of followers and Kanye have. I don't know. I don't know who else is driving Twitter traffic. But I would say Twitter is largely dominated, as far as the subject, around the election and around Donald Trump himself. If he left, it would be the biggest slap in the face, and he could do it in an afternoon. He could close his account today, and he could open up a Parler account today. He could make one last tweet, his last announcement, out of here. No way in the world am I participating in this game anymore. Why doesn't he leave Twitter? It's almost a question that has me scratching my head. Is this designed chaos for us? Is Trump wanting to capitalize on the fact that all Twitter followers of his are being abused on a daily basis, that all conservatives are being abused? Does he stay there because he gets attention from it? It doesn't really care how many of his followers, how many of his supporters, how many conservative activists are deplatformed or censored or anything. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. He just needs to stay in the mix on Twitter. Tomorrow morning, now I don't know, this should have been done a long time ago. Maybe you'd have to call Parler or whatever the other Twitter alternative. There may be five of them. I don't know. Maybe you have to call the other companies and go, hey, look, I don't know how much server space you've got available, but I'm about to bring 100 million people your way, so you might want to beef up your infrastructure. So I don't know. Maybe it takes a week. Maybe it takes a week. But see, this is one of those things. We watch the slow gears of government. All of these things that Trump supposedly is doing or has done. You know, he's going to do a trade war with China. Takes years. Build a wall. It's never going to happen. But even if it was, theoretically, it would take years and years. To bust apart the big tech monopolies on some of these things would take an afternoon. Yet nobody seems to really be talking about it. Bunch of conservatives out there on Twitter complaining about Twitter every day. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like I say, it's like going to a restaurant, getting food poisoning, and going back there every day just so you can go back to the office and talk about how your stomach hurts. Eventually, the people in your office will go, Fred, shut up. Quit eating there then. We're sick of hearing about how your tummy hurts every time. I'm sick of hearing people talk about the left-wing bias in the social media companies while they use the social media companies. You got Gab as an alternative to Facebook. Gab is out there. You know, I'm on Gab. Very few people there. I think I have maybe 12. I may have 12 people in my network over there. But I don't care. I don't use Gab either, really. Every now and then I'll post a story to it. But Gab is out there flailing around. I get emails from them all the time talking about how they're this free speech platform. They're like, hey, guys, come over here. We're not censoring anybody over here. And yet how much will Donald Trump and the Trump administration spend on Facebook advertising this year? $100 million? $200 million? How much is he going to put into Mark Zuckerberg's pockets at Facebook? Into Jack Dorsey's pockets over at Twitter? I mean, this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Again, as an outsider, number one, I don't use social media. And number two, I don't play these party politics crap. So I'm not part of a tribe on either side. So I'm watching all you nut jobs out there on social media screaming at each other, even though you have more in common than you do with any of these elites you are out there fighting for. You're like, you may like Donald Trump. You don't have anything in common with Donald Trump. You have more in common with that libtard you're screaming out on Twitter. And for you liberals out there, you got more in common with that Trump supporter out there. You're all just out there trying to scratch out a living, raise your kids, have a decent life. And you're doing the bidding of Joe Biden on Twitter. You want to lash out at some Trump supporter who's, you know, just trying to live their life. You're going to carry water for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. You ain't Hunter Biden. You're not going to be able to trade off of Joe Biden's name and make millions of dollars. $50,000, $85,000 a month. That kind of salary is not coming your way. It doesn't matter how many people you cuss out online in the name of Joe Biden. It's not coming your way. As I say, all you people screaming at each other, you got more in common than you do with any of these people that you're fighting for. But again, the social media stuff, I mean, the blinders are off. Now, the tech titans are being brought back to Congress again. You know, this is like Russiagate. This is like the Durham Report, which is, I guess, AOL. AWOL, excuse me. That was a technology Freudian slip, I guess. Maybe I should have said it's DOA. Is the Durham Report even? Anyway, you got these tech titans coming in front of Congress. Now, look, I talked when it was first talked about a long time ago, probably, I don't know, was it a year ago or so, where they were talking about stripping them of their 230 protection, their Section 230, which you know, allows them to be treated just as an open forum and not regulated like a publisher. And I realize if you strip that protection from them, a lot less is going to be said online rather than more. But I'm all for stripping them of that. It should have been done, obviously, quite some time ago. But will they even do it this time? Or are we just going to see, you know, a lot of us watched the Barrett confirmation hearings. And what we saw was a bunch of grandstanding Democrats basically making campaign speeches, trying to pander to their base by going after a woman who is quite obviously completely qualified for the position. Obviously a very intelligent woman, no flaws in her personal character that they can find. But we just watched these Democrats prattle on endlessly against Amy Coney Barrett because we knew what they were doing, right? They were just playing politics. They were just trying to play to their base. They were trying to look like the resistance and trying to keep another conservative off the court. Well, I'm telling you, from what's happened so far, when the tech titans go to Washington, D.C., I say the same thing. In every single congressional testimony, whether it's about Russia investigation or anything, it's a bunch of Republicans out there trying to rally the base by asking a bunch of tough questions and then doing absolutely bupkis. Nothing. Nothing. They didn't do anything in the Russia hoax stuff. How many testimonies, how many congressional hearings did they have around the Russia investigations where these people came in, your Alexander Vindmans or whoever it is? How many of these hearings do they have where a bunch of Republicans got their sound bites on Fox News all night long? Look at Trey Gowdy, take it to him. Look at Matt Gaetz. Look at Devin Nunes. And look, I think they're on the right side of the issue, but the bottom line is that they don't do anything about it. I don't really know exactly why you're supposed to get so excited about the political theater. I mean, I'm not even sure if the lights get cut out if Jack Dorsey doesn't take Republicans out for cocktails just like he does the Democrats. These big tech companies own Washington, D.C., quite obviously, or something that would have taken place a long time ago. But that's how that's the difference. See, I understand how the politicians benefit from Twitter and Facebook and Google. They get money from them. You get nothing but a free account that is damaging to your mental health. And yet you keep wading into it every single day. Oh, that's where I get my news. I get my news from Facebook and Twitter. Well, then you're getting at the very best kind of poor quality of news, but I don't use them, and I think I see a lot of news. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about the Hunter Biden, the meat of it, the social media censorship of it. It's like a maybe even a bigger story than the what's in the Hunter Biden, although the Hunter Biden stuff is certainly big. I tell you, I wish I've got some clips from Rudy Giuliani. I think I may have one from Steve Bannon, a short one from Steve Bannon. I do wish, I really do wish there were some higher character players in this thing. Hunter Biden is quite obviously corrupt. Joe Biden is quite obviously corrupt. I just wish there were some better players on the right besides Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani. See, I know Rudy Giuliani is a political beast, opportunist, swamp creature. Now, he may be on the right side of this one, and he may take Hunter Biden down and may cost Joe Biden the election. So there's some benefit to that, and there's no doubt about it. I just wish there was somebody out there, somebody normal in Washington, D.C., that could raise these issues and actually get the truth out there without being such a scumbag. Rudy Giuliani, I've got no time for him. One of the things, I will admit this probably, Rudy Giuliani was one of those who, he got into a fight with Ron Paul in the debates where I think Ron Paul laid him out, but maybe that's just my bias. Rudy Giuliani trying to stoke the war on terror. Telling us, Rudy Giuliani is a warmonger. He covered up Saudi involvement in 9/11 for about 17 years and really kind of continues to do it because we don't want to talk about that. We'd rather sell the Saudis arms rather than hold them accountable for killing 3,000 Americans for some reason. Doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump, Barack Obama, or George W. Bush. They all know the Saudis were involved in 9/11, but they don't want to talk about it because they'd rather sell them weapons and actually send our kids over there to protect Saudi Arabia for some strange reason in today's bizarro world. Rudy Giuliani is at the heart of that kind of stuff. He's a scumbag, but he may be the key to getting some of this Hunter Biden stuff out there if the media lets him. We'll get back to that in just a second. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I find myself wondering if, in response to this Hunter Biden stuff, as much as they're trying to suppress it, their suppression has actually made it probably more of a story, at least on the front end, before we really know the details. When we know the details, the actual corruption of Hunter Biden may actually be exposed. I have a couple of questions about that. I mean, is that even going to matter to the average Trump hater, rank-and-file Democrat, independent? Maybe with some independents, it may matter. I don't know. Maybe some Democrats stay home and they say, well, I'm just not going to vote for this guy. I don't know. I can't really decide. I mean, this kind of stuff on Hunter Biden gets, you know, it plays right into the Trump base. And a lot of Republicans who've been pointing to this kind of corruption in the Democratic Party with the Clinton Foundation and the Barack Obama's, what, he got a $90 million book deal? No way that ever becomes profitable. That's some kind of a kickback. That should be investigated. But it plays to that Republican side, which was going to go out and vote anyway. Trump's base is as energized as anything I've ever seen in my entire life. But does it actually change any votes? I'm wondering if the Democrats, I mean, it's what, the 19th of October right now? They talk about the October surprise. They've thrown a couple of things at Donald Trump. They threw the tax returns at him. It didn't really matter. Had a couple of debates. They've tried to throw their white supremacist stuff at him. It's not sticking. That's not working anymore. You know, I do not have a whole lot of sympathy for Donald Trump. I've got to take a lot of exception to a lot of Trump's policies and lack of policies and certain things. But I do feel for the guy. I mean, it's like 50 times he's said he does not support white supremacists. But they keep asking to kind of plant that idea that, do we really need to clarify this with Donald Trump? I mean, he may actually be a white supremacist. They just keep saying it over and over again. The question is, and a lot of people made the point, it's like, when did you stop beating your wife? But they've thrown a lot of stuff at him. They're going to have to come with a big gun now. I did the anonymously sourced. He called soldiers losers and suckers. It didn't work. I mean, they've thrown a lot at him, but with this Biden thing, they're going to need something to fire back with. See, the thing is that anything that comes out that's anti-Trump now, of course, will make the media. It will be the top story for the next 2 weeks. But they seem to be kind of running on fumes there and playing defense now on the Hunter Biden stuff. A couple of weeks ago, I'm not a Steve Bannon fan. Now, Steve Bannon he's a smart guy. There's no doubt about that. He's smart. I just find him to be a little sleazy. Yeah, sleazy. It's like Roger Stone. Roger Stone's a smart guy. What does he call himself? A political dirty trickster? Well, that's great if you really like politics and like the results we have. I mean, he's been responsible for helping elect a lot of Republicans. That hadn't turned out so great for us. Dirty tricks, I don't know, maybe I could respect them against a party like the Democrats, which is full of dirty tricks, but I could maybe respect that if we were getting some results from the Republicans that benefited from Roger Stone's dirty tricks. Anyway, this whole cabal of people, they're really kind of swampy and sleazy to me, but Steve Bannon's leading the charge in this Hunter Biden stuff along with Rudy Giuliani. This is something Steve Bannon said just a few weeks ago.
We have the hard drive. I have the hard drive of Hunter Biden.
Oh, really? What's on it?
You'll see.
Within the next 48 hours.
Stand by.
But
stand by.
Releasing it before the debate.
Stand by.
And he was right. They certainly are in the process of releasing stuff. Now, again, let me pull my... And I thought I pulled my clip up here. This was Rudy Giuliani. Again, you know, I really want to see Hunter Biden and Joe Biden exposed. I absolutely do. So I'm tickled pink to see this stuff taking place. I just wish there were some better players in here. I mean, even a Devin Nunes or somebody who's got, I don't know, just not a swamp creature. But anyway, it's Rudy Giuliani is the messenger for these things. So this is what Rudy Giuliani had to say about what we're seeing on the hard drive and what's going to be released in the upcoming days.
Look at it. You tell me if it isn't authentic. It's authentic as hell. Some of those pictures on it can only have come from him. And I'll tell you why I know it for sure. I have about 10 pieces of confidential information nobody knows, except me and Hunter Biden. Kept it that way. You know, I investigated cases of 50 years. Every one of those hits the mark.
Rudy,
every one. In other words, I have an anonymous source. I'll give you an example. I have an anonymous source that reports on a meeting at the State Department, which would violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And Hunter Biden was taken in the back door and kept off the books. The gentleman who was involved in it and who told me about it had the date. I've had that for a year and a half. That very date shows up in his emails. There are 5 emails setting up that appointment, that date, that exact time. Mm. I've got 5 of those if anybody cares to examine it. They're not even disputing it. This is Hunter Biden's emails, texts, and really the photographs will shock the hell out of you.
So, Rudy, for people at
home...
These
photographs are disgusting, and they make him a national security risk for the United States of America.
Rudy.
Because every photograph I have China has, plus a lot more. They reveal federal crimes. They reveal disgusting sexual behavior. And then they reveal sexual behavior. And then numerous times where he has totally gone on crack, which means he spent most of the last 5 years on crack. And who would pay this man $2,
$10 million,
if he's a crack addict?
Now, again, I will say I want the facts to come in. I just heard this discussed. I'm certainly no expert, that he may be a crystal meth addict instead of a crack addict. I'm not sure which is better or which is worse, but, you know, this show is all about accuracy and the facts. So we'll figure that out. Here's my question. There was one email, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now. I need to kind of search this trove of things and get better. I mean, so much has come. It's almost like a fire hose of all these different accusations about Hunter Biden. But my understanding of one of these emails is an email between Hunter Biden and his kids, where he's saying something along the lines of, and I'm wildly paraphrasing right now, he said something along the lines of, I'm sorry, you know, I haven't been the best dad to you. You think? I haven't been the best dad for you, but at least I'm not like your grandpa who takes 50% of of everything I make. Now, that is the question for the next 2 weeks. Are they going to be able to really, really tie this with a tight noose around Joe Biden's neck? I can see a lot of people trying to look. As an outsider, I see both sides go through these wild jumps to justify stuff that their guy does. And I can imagine on the left that there'd be a lot of people that make the huge leap unless you really tie this to Joe Biden. And I mean, bank accounts, see where the money is, see how this has enriched the Biden family. Joe Biden, from what I've seen in his disclosures, not worth a ton of money, which always made me think, well, the guy really is stupid. If he could be in Washington, D.C. for 47 years and not be worth a couple of $100 million, then maybe he really is an idiot, because the rest of them seem to be able to do it. Not that it's right, but they seem to at least be clever enough criminals. But they need to tie this to Joe Biden. And if Hunter Biden's telling his kids, your grandpa takes half of every kickback I get, that might change some minds. But I can see a lot of people on the left just making this huge leap, just going, oh, look, we've all got kids. Joe Biden can't control. If you understand addiction, you know that the parents just get to a point where they just can't help their children and he can't help. You know what I mean? They're going to try to. I think I'm in a better position than most people to see the justifications. This happens on both sides of the aisle. This, if you love Donald Trump, I hear a lot of justifications for things that Trump does that I do not think are good. And they certainly do it on the left, too. So what the question is, and is this why the Democrats wanted everybody to go out and vote so early before this happened? You know, the movie Fargo. Have you ever seen the movie Fargo? It's one of my favorite movies. And what's the guy's name? The lead character. It's not Steve Buscemi. Anyway. William Macy. Is that right? I'm not a big Hollywood guy. But he plays a used car salesman, and he's been running a scam. He's been stealing money from the car dealership. And you see it coming to a head. Just little things, some questions are asked, and he tries to put them off, and it works for a couple of days, and then they keep calling. He did such a good job of acting that part, because you could really feel the situation getting worse and worse for him. You could really feel the stress building up in this guy as he realizes he is about to be busted for embezzling large, large amounts of money. So he starts actually ordering hits on people. And that's what it feels like, I would imagine, inside the Joe Biden campaign right now. He just feels like, oh, God, I've got to get through this next couple of weeks, get to this election. Hopefully I can be elected and then kill all of these investigations. Now, what would be interesting is if Joe Biden did win this election, and I tell you, I think it becomes less likely by the day. But I talked to somebody yesterday, said they thought Biden was going to win, a smart person, an outsider like me. So we'll see. But if Joe Biden did win the presidency, boy, the Republicans would be completely derelict of duty if not on day one after the election, they immediately announced that they will be seeking articles of impeachment. And we will just flip-flop the entire last 4 years on their head, and now we'll see the Republicans in hot pursuit of a Democrat president that is quite obviously as corrupt as he can be. The media has their reaction to this stuff, too. Well, they've got two reactions. The first thing was to try to suppress every single thing about Hunter Biden. Even if it came from a major news outlet like the Washington Post, they tried to suppress it. ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, NPR. They will not talk about the Biden stuff. There was a little mention of it this morning, a lot of unconfirmed stuff. They weren't able to suppress it because their suppression actually brought it more to the forefront. So now they've got their new tact for how to deal with the Hunter Biden stuff, and it is exactly as you would imagine. I'll play those clips when we come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I don't like to regurgitate the same stuff that most Republican stuff does, you know, but some of the things are just so obvious. It is pretty amazing that the media will, you know, they won't report anything on this. Everything is said about Hunter Biden's unsubstantiated emails, all of these kinds of disclaimers. They're not proven to be true, all of these different things, but they will use anonymous sources to the end of the earth. If it goes against Donald Trump, we all know that if this was a story about Ivanka Trump getting these kinds of payoffs from foreign governments and cushy jobs, if we knew that she had some kind of a bizarre drug habit or perverse sexual, we know this would be front page headlines and Twitter. Certainly, they'd be boosting the posts, not suppressing them. So the hypocrisy is just hard to even bear. But the they've decided how they're going to take this thing, so they're going to stick with it. These are unsubstantiated, but if you listen to Rudy Giuliani talk, it sounds like they've got the goods. Now, I'm going to ask one question here just as a technological idiot. They talk about having the hard drive. Are emails on a hard drive? I guess maybe it depends on the server. You know, I just think about my own email stuff, and isn't my email stuff just in the cloud with my email server? Is that actually on my computer? I don't know. Anyway, it sounds like Rudy Giuliani is able to verify this stuff, and there's a lot of corroborating stuff of money moving during the time or meetings that took place the same time some of these emails were indicating that a meeting would take place. So it sounds like they've got them dead to rights on this stuff. But if the media can't swat this thing down by being something just completely made up out of whole cloth, they're going to continue to try it. They're going to trot out the old narratives.
Thanks so much for joining us. Does it surprise you at all that this information, Rudy?
This is Brolf Blitzer with Adam Schiff.
Giuliani is peddling. Very well could be connected to some sort of Russian government
there it is.
Disinformation campaign.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin.
Of course.
That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son. And, you know, the idea that the president, that the White House counsel and others were made aware that Giuliani was being used by Russian intelligence and using Russian intelligence in the sense of meeting with an agent of the Kremlin and pushing out this Kremlin false narrative. The idea that they were knowing and still on the floor of the Senate during the impeachment trial, pushing this Kremlin narrative is pretty breathtaking. But I guess at this point, we can't be shocked by anything this administration does, no matter how craven. But clearly, the origins of this whole smear are from the Kremlin, and the president is only too happy to have Kremlin help in trying to amplify it.
Okay, so that's what they're going with. This is more Russian disinformation. You know, I remember being disgusted when they were talking about some of the some social programs back a while ago, and the Democrats would say things like, Republicans want to push your grandmother off a cliff. You know, they had kind of before memes, I guess, but things circulating of pictures of, you know, basically Republicans pushing old ladies out of wheelchairs off the side of a cliff, that kind of stuff. And I thought, just, you know, how disgusting and patronizing is that stuff? But this is just the Russia stuff. How many times can you go back to that well? There's a picture that goes with a lot of stories, particularly on Zero Hedge, every time they bring this stuff up. And it's a picture of Vladimir Putin with a big bowl of popcorn in him, and he's eating popcorn. I've looked at the story. I can't tell if it's a Photoshopped thing or if they just actually got a picture of Vladimir Putin eating popcorn. But the Russians must just be laughing at us, at what our political system has become. Now, the Russians are meddling around in all kinds of different stuff, and they're right, too. I mean, we do the same thing. England does it. Paraguay does it. I mean, every country is always noodling around in people's stuff. But to lay this idea that the Russians are behind every single thing that dings the Democrats is pure insanity. James Clapper also made the rounds. This is him on Aaron Burnett's show.
How much does the source matter, right? So you hear the story of this laptop. We don't know a lot. We do know that the way that this information is getting out is through Steve Bannon.
No, I think we know pretty much everything. Hunter Biden on a meth binge. I'm going with meth. I'm saying it's crystal meth, not crack. But I could be wrong. On a meth binge, drops off some laptops and forgets about them. This is a little convenient to me. I got to tell you, it doesn't quite pass the smell test, but it just may be that Hunter Biden is that stupid. You know, I should never discount that. It feels almost like if this was the other way around, if the Democrats conveniently found a laptop and it had Trump stuff on it and it was because Don Jr. had left it somewhere and never, it would make me suspicious. I still feel like this is awfully convenient the way that this went down, but it is entirely possible just because the truth is Hunter Biden's an idiot.
And Rudy Giuliani. How much does the source matter here?
Well, the source matters a lot, and the timing matters a lot, I think. And to me, this is just classic textbook Soviet-Russian tradecraft at work. The Russians have analyzed the target. They understand that the president and his enablers crave dirt on Vice President Biden, whether it's real or contrived, it doesn't matter to them. And so all of a sudden, two and a half weeks before the election, this laptop appears somehow without emails on it without any metadata.
Well, actually, it appeared a year ago. They just held it until the election. They probably really, you know, I can kind of imagine Republicans must have thought, people that got this laptop with Hunter Biden, if they got this last year, I mean, wasn't it like a year ago, maybe last November? They must have looked at this and said, well, I mean, we'll keep it around, but we probably don't. I mean, certainly the Democrats aren't going to nominate Joe Biden to be their nominee. I mean, they probably thought it didn't have a ton of value. Maybe if the, you know, if Trump stayed in office and you got a Republican Congress, maybe eventually they would try to prosecute or, you know, do something with Hunter Biden. But they probably just sat on this thinking, there's no way the Democrats are going to let Joe Biden be their candidate, are they? And then when they realized, oh, my God, they actually took this old senile man and put him up as the presidency. Dust off the laptop. We're going to need that come October. I'm going to finish this clip out, but I want to remind people, this is James Clapper. He's the former head of the NSA, that little organization of your loving government that snoops and spies on everything you do. And he went in front of Congress and flat out lied about that. I don't know. To you and me, that's a crime. Let me just a word to the wise. If you're called in front of Congress, don't lie to them on national television after you have taken the oath. They will prosecute you. You understand? You will be in trouble. You will spend a great deal of time in court defending yourself against the biggest legal apparatus on planet Earth, which is the U.S. federal government. And you will be crushed like a bug for lying to Congress. For James Clapper, he just goes on CNN as a contributor.
It's all very curious. So here you have a willing target, and the Russians, who are very sophisticated about how to exploit a willing target. And to me, that's what's at work here.
And so, you know, when you try to figure out the specifics of, you know, whether that meeting email, for example, is real in the midst of this, do you think stuff like that could just have been planted in there and be completely fake?
I do.
Of course.
But I think the emails could be contrived, particularly since, as I understand it from what I've read, they appear without any metadata. That is, you know, from, to, and any technical data, at least immediately evident. Now, if this computer is in the hands of the FBI, they have obviously excellent, sophisticated technical and forensic analytic capabilities, and I think they'll be able to sort it out whether this is genuine or not. But, you know, it's all pretty curious, given, again, 2.5 weeks out from the election.
Yeah. Yeah, it is convenient in its timing, isn't it? And the FBI, yes, they do have all these tools to get to everything, but apparently the FBI is not going to. When I come back, I got to take a break. I'm going to get to the director of the DNI, talked about this Russian idea, and he kind of slapped it down. Hopefully this audio is good enough to hear. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final couple of minutes of the show here. Well, I think the only thing certain about the future right now in the United States is it is going to be wild. The next 2 weeks is going to be something. Apparently, what the idea is behind these Hunter Biden emails is they are going to start coming out like fire hose pictures. We haven't even gotten to the deep fakes. Can you imagine what's going to happen to this country when they really perfect? I mean, there's things out there. You see deep fakes. You can still kind of tell. It's kind of like some plastic surgery. It's getting better. Getting better, but they're not quite there on certain body parts. You can still tell. When they get these deep fakes going, I just can't imagine what we're going to be barraged with. And I keep looking at this stuff. You listen to the media either try to suppress the Hunter Biden stuff, you know, or try to wave it away as no more Russian interference. What is fascinating to me, to listen to James Clapper, former NSA chief, sit there on Aaron Burnett and talk about, oh, this is Russian interference. Adam Schiff talk about this as Russian interference. And this all really revolves, a lot of it does. Now, there's two things with Hunter Biden. There's both China and there's Ukraine. But the Ukrainian stuff revolves around, you know, they are talking about the Russians meddling in our election. The whole Ukraine thing started with our government overthrowing the Ukraine, not placing some Facebook ads, not even sending campaign contributions to some politician in Ukraine that we like to try to take down another one, which is bad enough. No, this was actually a State Department under Obama. This was a State Department operation to overthrow the government of Ukraine. And it successfully happened, complete with snipers that actually killed people in Ukraine. We sit here and wring our hands and clutch our pearls about the Russians maybe buying some Facebook ads. Meanwhile, we are actively overthrowing a government and killing people in the streets to get the elected leadership that we want in. But, well, we don't want to pay attention to that. And James Clapper was involved in that, as was John Brennan, the CIA director, as was Hillary Clinton at the State Department, Victoria Nuland at the State Department. It's absolutely amazing. And it brings to mind another thing. Can you even imagine for a second if we had an honest media, like what the media pretends to be? If they were actually what they pretend to be, here's what they do. They get stories, they investigate things, they get stories, and then they just report them. Can you even imagine a landscape like that in this country right now? I mean, it's almost hard to even imagine what things would be like. Because we're not even anywhere close to that, and everything's slanted one way or the other. Look, if you're on Breitbart, Breitbart covers stuff that the mainstream media will ignore. But it's not accurate in everything. There's a ton of propaganda on Breitbart, too. So everybody's in their bubbles. I just can't imagine, like, an honest media. Another thing that, you know, a lot of people don't like when Savannah Guthrie goes after Donald Trump or any of these people go after Donald Trump. I kind of like the idea of an oppositional press in press conferences going after a press spokesman. The problem is they only do it to one side. But the elected leaders in this country have a great deal of power, and they should be challenged constantly. And I don't even care if the tenor is kind of angry. The problem is that the media only goes after one side with this aggressive oppositional tactic. And then they ask Barack Obama what his favorite color is and why. It would just be fantastic to have an honest media, but we've got what we've got. The next 2 weeks are certainly going to be an awful lot of fireworks, I would imagine. I guess we got one more debate coming up between that, the Hunter Biden stuff, and if they've got one more thing to throw at Donald Trump, we'll see. It is October, the month of surprises. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.